What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn. I'm the host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, folks, you can watch us on the Civic Media YouTube channel. You can always check it out also on Facebook and Instagram, where at Maggie Dawn Show streams live. And of course, you'll see my twits, my tweets, my X posts on X, also at Maggie Dawn Show. But it is Wednesday and it is 2:30. And that means it sounds like change, where each week we host a very special guest from Emily's List. And today we've got Yari Aquino. She's the director of campaign communications at Emily's List. And she works to advise candidates, wherever they may be running, up or down the ballot, about how to engage with voters and communicate about abortion and reproductive rights. Previously, Yari was the director of strategy and communications at the Women's Equality Center, where she worked on reproductive rights campaigns across Latin America. So important. Thank you for all of that work, Yari, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here and talk about, everything Wisconsin.
Yes, everything Wisconsin. Just last half hour, we had our political editor, Dan Schaefer, on. My thanks to Dan, talking about all kinds of swing elections in Wisconsin's Senate and Assembly state legislative districts, because we finally have new, fairer maps. Of course, reproductive rights playing a really big part in those races as well. But let's talk about the Hovde Baldwin Senate race and this crazy debate that happened last Friday. Yari, I had a hot take for you, and then I wanted to get your reaction. To me, Eric Hovde comes across as a guy who's incredibly condescending and dismissive of other people's viewpoints and dissenting viewpoints. He sort of speaks in these weird, like, half sentences with a lot of non-specifics, tends to kind of blow wherever the wind is going, but clearly fancies himself completely convincing. So I likened him to, like, a cheap version of Tony Robbins. Like, semi-exploitative in the same way and yet utterly ineffective and perhaps also the same way. But I wanted to get your impressions about that race, or excuse me, about that debate, and how each of the candidates are messaging to voters, especially key swing voters, about reproductive rights coming out of the debate.
Yeah, apologies. My cat wanted to chime in first because...
Always welcome.
Yeah. As you said, he really is a candidate that goes where the wind blows. And for him, often that's to California, where he has his businesses, where he's often resided. And, I think what we saw was a clear example of a candidate like Senator Baldwin, who is always prepared, always shows up for her constituents, and is such a just strong voice for reproductive rights in the Senate, face against someone like Eric Hovde, who didn't even bother to research some of the bills that are most important to his constituents, like the farm bill. And I'm sorry, someone who didn't even do his homework for a debate that's so critically important in front of his people, do you think he's bothered to look into how women's reproductive health care works? Because I don't think so. And that's not who I want making my decision. So honestly, that's a lot of what we saw, was someone who will say what he needs to say to try and sound maybe a little more moderate, try to deceive voters. But the reality is, it just takes looking at his record.
Well, and the fact that he said without hesitation or qualification, I'm completely opposed to abortion. The thing that I thought was most disingenuous in the small portion of that debate where they actually talked about reproductive rights, which I thought was challenging from my perspective, I wish they would have spent more time on it, is he basically said, oh, well, that's what I said a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. I've always been okay with candidates or elected officials evolving their opinions. So long, and frankly, I look to that as a hallmark of someone who continues to think and receive new information. But that's not what this is, because the languaging that he uses actually reveals the fact that he's still pro-national abortion ban. Or am I reading that all right wrong, Yari?
Oh, absolutely. This is a clear example of a Republican who can read polls, and he knows how wildly unpopular his anti-choice beliefs are. But everything he's done, who he's campaigned with, who he usually sides with, his own track record shows. I mean, he has been staunchly anti-choice, and trying to, you know, paint this as something in the past. Yes, we are all pro people growing, but that's not what he's doing. He's trying to honestly use camouflage to this election. And in a state like Wisconsin, where reproductive rights are in limbo, they are consistently under attack at all levels down ballot. It's something where we can't have people we're unsure of making these decisions for us. It is just too important. And Eric Hovde is 100% anti-choice. We know it. We don't need to believe his rhetoric now.
Yeah, no kidding. Folks, this is Yari Aquino. She's the director of campaign communications at Emily's List, where she helps candidates talk to voters about reproductive freedoms. The thing that came to my mind, Yari, is if someone's telling me that they have changed a position, frankly, a fundamental position for any political candidate, whether you're left, right, or center, running as a third party candidate, abortion is a huge issue. It's been that way for the entirety of my 40 plus years on this planet. Yeah. You had better tell me why your opinion changed. What was the epiphany? What was the personal story? What was the person that you knew? What broke through to you to help you see this issue differently? And I encourage every woman and any man listening that loves or cares about a woman, or that has a daughter or a cousin or a best friend that is of reproductive childbearing age, to take a listen to what he had to say about reproductive freedom in that debate, because it is utterly and completely lacking. There's no there. Now, it's emblematic of his positions on everything, but it's particularly shocking. Now, Calvin, if you can take a look-see, I think we might actually have some of this sound. I believe it's cut 5, Calvin. Let me know when you've got it. Oh, he's got it. Let's take a listen. Because, wow, let's take a listen.
Wow. Look, it's been brought back to our state. I think we as a state should resolve this in a common sense and compassionate approach. I believe in the beauty of life. I've had 2 daughters and 3 grandchildren. And I agree with exceptions for rape, incest, and the health of the mother. And I think women should have a right to decide early on in their pregnancy. Senator Baldwin, you have passed or pushed to allow abortion to happen up to the point of delivery, where a healthy baby can be born,
which
alive
is a lie,
and be terminated. To me,
again, which is
that
a lie,
is unconscionable. You're shaking your head, but please give what month would you stop? Is it the 8th month? It's the 9th. Is it the 9th month? And you run these ads saying I'm against for a national abortion ban. I am not for a national abortion ban. I never have been.
Lie.
And when she talks about my comment from 14 years ago, yeah, my daughters were young. And then they grew
Mr.
up.
Mr. Hovde, your time is up on this point.
Yeah.
So your daughters became teenage. It doesn't track, right? I mean, sorry, Yari, go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. And as you said, there is no remorse for his previous stances. There is no, you know, I supported an abortion ban and I changed my mind. There's none of that. It is simply lying about the fact that he supported an abortion ban and lying about what he and Senator Baldwin believe in now. The reality is the exceptions he's saying he backs, so many states are finding how they fail them, how they fail the system. And the reality is the safest way to go about it, if we listen to our doctors, if we listen to our families, is to ensure that women can make those decisions with their doctors. And he is strictly opposed to that. And as you mentioned earlier, Maggie, the language he uses, like the rhetoric he uses about life, it's the most clear anti-choice language. It's what they try to use. He's still using their playbook. They just tweaked it now to try and sound like they're a little more middle ground, but voters aren't buying it. They know, first of all, they did it very late in the cycle. Like at this point, we're 2 weeks out, you're trying to claim this. Like it's been like a month, I would say, of them trying to really dispel this. It's honestly too late. Their records speak for themselves.
Well, and he said 2 things, which and then he tries to ask Tammy Baldwin what are bogus gotcha questions. And that, by the way, that's not how debates work. he talked about that a woman can have an abortion early on. What does that mean, sir? And why do you get to decide what's early enough?
Yeah.
In other words, answer the question that you're trying to get Tammy Baldwin with one of your own. What is the rationale? Because there was one. in Roe versus Wade, right? Like there was a rationale. It was fetal viability, right? The idea that, oh yes, I support exceptions. Well, you didn't before, sir. And there's literal sound of Hovde saying that. The things that I always like to ask people is, who's policing whether or not it was rape or incest? Are you, sir? Is the police department?
Yeah.
And when we talk about late term abortions, again, facts matter. They represent less than 1% of all abortions. And I've had Q&As with people about this before on the show where I say, listen, what do you think is causing a woman to take the step that no woman would ever want to take, which is to have a late term abortion? And the answer typically is, well, something must be terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And so with all due respect and humility, sir, you may have teenage daughters now, but what if something is terribly wrong in one of their pregnancies? Do you get to decide? Do other legislators? It's just, sorry to go on so much about this, but I really wanted to lean into this point with you, Yari, because I find his position utterly incomprehensible and indefensible.
I agree with you, Maggie. And I think, honestly, a lot of times Republicans like Hovde, like across the country and other states, are trying to do the same playbook, and they're trying to seem a little more moderate. And some are even going as far as putting out ads with women in their family. Like Hovde references his daughters. A lot of Republicans reference their wives, their daughters, their families. And the reality is my heart goes out to them, because that is watching someone in your family attack reproductive rights like that, knowing that it's something you could use one day, is heartbreaking. So I wish that they would legislate with them in mind more and campaign with them more.
Well, instead of using them as a campaign talking point, which is really deeply offensive. Let's move on. We've got, of course, Rebecca Cook running in Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district and Dr. Kristen Lyer in Wisconsin's 8th. What should listeners know about them? What's your take on these races?
Listen, these are really exciting races. Let's start with Rebecca Cook in Western Wisconsin. Like the senatorial, this is an extremely competitive race. And honestly, a really impressive candidate. She is 36 years old, a waitress working to make ends meet as she is running this campaign. It is so impressive. She doesn't have to learn the issues of her district because she is living them herself every day. And she is running against one of the most extreme Republicans. He was Rep. Derek Van Orden. He was in the January 6th insurrection. He's extremely anti-choice. I believe he's the one that likened abortion to genocide. He is honestly one of the most extreme. He has one of the most extreme stances on reproductive rights that we've seen. And it's really exciting to see such a young, energized, passionate candidate like Rebecca Cook take him on.
He's also a big fat jerk. It's just like, I've gotten to this place where I'm like, I just need to call out the jerkiness. Like Eric Hovde seems like a jerk. Like who takes a video of you and your wife, like flipping $100 bills and celebrating that you're part of the 1%? Who bullies Senate pages in the rotunda for taking pictures while you're hammered? Who pushes a lady in line and then blames the lady because you're a jerky bully? Like, that is the Hovde Van Orden playbook. And if you're a conservative, you deserve better than jerks. We're going to come back with our very special guest for today's episode of Sounds Like Change with Emily's List. Her name's Yari Aquino. She is the Director of Campaign Communications. We're going to dig into some more races when we come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.